The Mad Tech Podcast, news of the week in ad tech and marketing tech, brought to you by ExchangeWire. Hello and welcome to this week's special episode of the Mad Tech Podcast, brought to you by ExchangeWire. My name is Lindsay Rowntree. I am COO at ExchangeWire. And our topic in our special episode today is sustaining creativity in cookieless environments. Big, broad topic, should be a meaty conversation. I'm delighted to be joined by, to discuss this with me, Dal Gill, who is VP of Global Partnerships at CTAG. Hello, Dal.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent. About to hot-foot it to Cannes after this, so we better kind of get a wriggle on.
Literally, I've got a, turn the laptop off, I'm straight into a cab, straight over to Heathrow. So yeah, wish me luck.
Wow, you might need that luck. Best of luck to you. And all the way over from Bangkok in Thailand, we have Dom Barnard, Head of Programmatic APAC at GroupM. Hello, Dom.
Hi, Lindsay. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Yeah. Very excited to be part of the podcast. I've been, an avid listener for a while. So, an honor to be invited to speak today. Yeah.
Great to hear that. And I think you might be our first person to have recorded the podcast sitting in Bangkok. So it's a privilege for us as well.
Brilliant. Well, I hope I get some sort of reward or something.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what we can work out. Right, moving into the topic. So like I said, we're chatting about sustaining creativity in cookieless environments. That means many, many things, really. But what I want to really kind of kick off and get an understanding from you both based on your experiences with brands is what the shift to cookieless environments has actually meant for how marketers define their marketing strategies. What's changed for them? I'm going to come to you first, Dom, as the agency person voice here.
Sure. Yeah. So I think I'd say that there hasn't actually been a dramatic shift in the way that we've sort of defined our strategies just yet. I mean, I think there's still essentially using the same kind of marketing approaches. We're still, programmatic marketers are still buying media through DSP technology with the ambition to reach sort of desired audiences, So the individual strategies being used are still a mixture of whatever mediums are available, be those cookie-led approaches or not. I think also, buyers are still in the process of shifting more towards cookieless ecosystems, so the overall approach for the industry looks like we'll have a combination of, first party data, second party data, signals, using deterministic signals, as well as contextual, so I think contextual is going to be a sort of key driver towards that. And I think also just, so not necessarily, a change in how we define things, but a change in how, the methodologies that we're going to use to actually access some of those audiences, I think are going to include like a shift more towards sort of PMP buying, programmatic guaranteed buying, in order to, to leverage second party publisher data, but also just be able to access those audiences. So I think it's essentially going to be less open exchange buying that's reliant on cookie based data. So I think that's where the main sort of impacted area will be. But there's still plenty of other ways that we can reach our audiences in other mediums. So yeah, I think just overall, I think it's, again, not a huge shift in the way that we're defining things, but just a shift in the way that we're going to reach those audiences and the kind of sort of data signals we use to reach them.
Interesting. And are these conversations being led by you, the agency, or are they being led by your clients? Are they coming to you and saying, right, this is what we want to do? Or what the hell do we do now in this situation? Kind of help us navigate this.
Sure. I think it's a mixture of both, really, because it's when we have our sort of innovation roadmaps, that there might be a very client-led innovation roadmap, or there's a combination of agency input and client input to manage those roadmaps. But it could be, considering there's all different sorts of solutions coming up and all different sorts of smaller to bigger sort of tech solutions or vendors that are popping up to guide us through this cookieless movement. Managing those innovation roadmaps is a sort of collaborative effort from both. Because it could be that we are sort of driving the overall approach, and we're definitely, as a group, we're definitely trying to be at the forefront of any sort of major testing opportunities. So if there's like a Google testing opportunity with, their topic solution or their fledged solution, if we want to be at the forefront of that. So, we're definitely pushing those kind of innovations and making sure that we're very much embedded with those sort of key vendors. But then there might be just you know, a client might have a certain approach or a certain angle on their marketing strategies. And so they might come to us with, you know, certain vendors, but then obviously the agencies will be very willing to offer an opinion or get involved in any testing opportunities for that.
Interesting. And Dal, same question to you in terms of what you're seeing from the marketer side and how they're defining or redefining their strategies, but also getting your thoughts on some of the stuff Dom said as well in terms of the approaches that aren't really changing, but they're looking to kind of really understand kind of what the new world, I guess, looks like and how they're working with their clients. I guess, what role do you then play in that as well?
So I think end of the day, that the objective is still the same for the brands. They want meaningful experiences with their customers. But now they ultimately want their partners to ensure it's done in a privacy-led world and with brand safety at the forefront as well. So on the supply side, we're getting those questions a lot more now, I'd say in the last year or so, where brands and agencies are coming to us and saying, what does CTAG do? What does CTAG do differently? What is the tech built on? So I think the whole industry is trying to get more educated with the kind of the death of the cookie. So I think it's only a good thing because it means there's more meaningful conversations. You know, we've needed a little mix up, and I suppose it, depending on where you fit in the industry, there's a lot of winners, as there obviously always are a lot of losers as well. But if you're adding value in the supply chain, agencies can see that very, very easily, then I think, you're onto a winner. I think obviously CTAG works in the contextual space. This is where we are really getting those questions because, it's a fully scalable operation when it comes to contextual targeting versus possibly device IDs and first-party data targeting and the other few options that are out there. All in all, we're seeing a slight shift in terms of the questions asked, but the objective still stays the same.
Interesting. And I want to understand as well kind of what that then means for a marketer, what success looks like, you know, and Dom, I guess it depends very much on the client, like client by client basis. Some are maybe working to an audience-centric approach. Some are looking at outcomes. Some are looking at kind of very different KPIs. Some are looking at top of funnel. But are you generally seeing a shift in how they are determining what their success metrics should be in this new environment?
Yeah. So I think, again, I'd say that not just yet. I think success is largely based off of standards of reach and engagement metrics. Are we actually reaching the audiences we want to reach? Are we actually, are they resonating with that and engaging with that content? So it still, you know, comes back to fairly simple and basic measurement practices of, or metrics like CPMs, CPVs, you know, click-through rates, et cetera. So I think it's those kind of metrics that still stay strong and will still continue to be used. But I think, you know, definitely when it comes to some sort of further measurement pieces like brand lift studies, I think that might be an area of impact, as a lot of brand lift studies can be based off of cookies. So I think that's one area where if a brand has been very heavily led by brand lift study measurements, or KPIs, then that's going to be something that is impacted. But I think also as well, brand lift studies, even those can be used in certain aspects, and they're not like, it's not like the death of the brand lift study. I think there's also areas where that can still survive. So I think, yeah, that there's definitely going to be a bit of a shift towards, continuation of using similar kind of metrics as the overall basis of a success. But then some of those sort of further methodologies like brand lift studies could be impacted. Yeah.
It's interesting to hear from you, Dom, that actually metrics like CPV, CPM, CTR are still quite so prevalent, because you kind of you assume we're in a world now where people are looking beyond that. People aren't looking at those kind of very top of funnel metrics and are going much deeper than that. Dal, from your perspective at CTAG, you know, are you seeing, are those helpful metrics for you to kind of be able to show that cookieless or contextual works? Or do you need something deeper and something more meaty in terms of a KPI from a client?
So these legacy metrics and ways of measuring performance of a campaign typically work well for, you know, when it comes on the CTAG side. So, you know, we're not complaining on that front, but I think just generally, even, you know, nothing related to contextual, I think the industry does need to evolve from you know, reporting back on CTR and viewability and view through rates and these types of metrics, because we all know there are flaws to them. But it goes again to my point about education. It's a wider education piece within the industry, and we need to show other metrics and report back on it. I know the industry is kind of running around trying to find what these metrics are, but I think that that's when it's important to sit down and think about what value you're bringing to the campaign, to the brand in question. I also think it's important not to mark your own homework. You know, we see tons of articles out there and pieces from various providers or media owners, but they're marking their own homework. So I think you need to work with a third party. You need to work with industry experts to see, you know, this is what we're doing. This is a study or a white paper, and this is how we're working towards the targets that the client set us. I think these kind of measurement and these metrics like CTR, viewability, VTR, they're around. They probably will be around for a little while longer. But I think the industry probably needs to agree on a standardized approach. But again, then that, you know, we might have something else and then that's going to be scrutinized. And probably that's the beauty of our industry, right? We're always evolving. We're always doing new things and challenging ourselves. And if no one is within the existing industry challenging us, there's always new players that are entering the market and challenging. So I think it's a great place to be. But yeah, I think we need to figure a few things out first, I think.
Yeah, no, we'll just add to that as well. I think that there's definitely, I think there is definitely room for improvement for sure. And I think there definitely are areas of focus, like attention is, you know, one big area, or there's things like on target reach as well, which are sort of these additional measurement processes, which definitely a lot of clients are interested in and testing on a regular basis. And I think attention is a very interesting area that's continuing to evolve and how we actually, how we measure that and how we apply that to our campaigns. So I think there's definitely these sort of larger areas of focus. But I think my point was that these CPMs, CPVs, CTRs, they're still going to be the sort of core basic KPIs that are sort of never really changing, because they do demonstrate a level of success. But then it's just, how do we demonstrate even more success at a more sort of cohesive basis? Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to add to that and say, it depends where in the funnel you're looking at, right? So we've typically now been talking about upper funnel and the types of metrics being reported back there. But when it comes to mid and lower funnel, it's probably, you know, less likely you're going to have a brand uplift study or you're going to be partnering up with a third party. So I think those types of metrics, for sure, ultimately the brands want to know, you know, how many tickets they've sold or, you know, cars they've sold or whatever it might be. So I think that might take a little bit longer when it comes to the lower funnel part of the funnel.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. And actually, that ties in with what I was going to say anyway, Dal, which was, you know, these metrics lend themselves very well to the kind of top of funnel branding aspect. And actually, are you seeing, as we're moving into cookieless environments and moving away from the access to third-party cookies, you know, certainly from a contextual basis, are we seeing more clients want to look more at, I guess, a full funnel approach and look more into what branding opportunities are out there? And are we seeing them kind of really kind of understand, actually, there's more to life than last click performance, and I can find new, interesting, exciting, innovative ways of finding my audiences? What are you seeing in that regard? Dom, I'll come to you on that one.
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, full funnel activation is the dream. It's always the ambition is to drive, you know, more end users down the funnel. So that model still exists, and definitely the measurement element of that and targeting approaches should be appropriated towards the different areas of the funnel. I think it's an ever-changing strategy, because it's something that needs to be tailored and adjusted to each different client's needs, even down to a different campaign level or the medium that you're buying within. It is a kind of, sometimes I think, a challenge to define exactly what programmatic targeting strategies sit in which areas of the funnel. And that's something that still needs to be fully defined. But essentially, we want to get, you know, mass reach strategies at upper funnel, and then it's more sort of engagement strategies for consideration. And then we have, you know, sort of CPA, et cetera, kind of conversion strategies. So there's definitely a sort of an overall approach, but it needs to be analyzed, scrutinized, and delved into for each client and each sort of overall campaign strategy, I think.
And Dal, what are your thoughts on that? And kind of, I guess, how contextual lends itself quite well to those kinds of metrics and that part of the funnel?
Yeah, so again, from the experience, I've been at CTAC for 4 years now. When I first joined, it was predominantly a branding proposition, right? So you're tying up contextual plus creativity plus high attention placements, and you got really good results from an upper funnel basis. And what we did then see was that actually the mid and lower funnel metrics were also being hit. And we did so. We had a white paper last year with Lumen, and we worked with other third parties like Metrics Lab, where we're actually seeing, you know, when the ad is served in the right place with the right creative, it enforces those lower funnel kind of actions as well from a user, which we found really interesting. And we started to build that out now. So we've got a performance on within CTAG, and we're proving that contextual targeting actually does help those, you know, more hard hit KPIs that the brand might send across to us. So I think it's, you know, it's really interesting time to be within the industry. And, you know, if we're kind of proving that performance can ultimately, you know, strong performance can be made with contextual targeting amongst other things, then I think that's a great thing only for the industry. But yeah, I think, you know, contextual's here to stay. It's going to be around for a long time now. You can just see all the other tons of partners and tons of agencies and brands that they're all talking about it. So it's you know, a big topic right now. And yeah, we just need to make sure we're not just thinking about contextual when it comes to branding, but also performance as well.
That's a very good point. And actually, for both branding and performance, you know, we talked about full funnel, we talked about kind of where the role contextual plays in the entire funnel as well. But I want to understand how all of this, as well as the moving away from cookies, third-party cookies, has kind of how that's impacted certain aspects of the marketing mix. And actually, are we seeing more aspects of it become more important than they were before? Like, you know, there's always, for many, many, many years now, it's like the year of the mobile, but it's the year of creativity. Data and creativity, how they're working together. Are they working together? It seems like largely not. But are we seeing a greater importance on creative and creativity in the marketing strategy? And are we seeing an execution acceleration of that and how it's working together with the data we have access to? Dom, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. So I think, you know, there's an emphasis on getting the best mix of creative and media has been continued at the forefront of building a sort of full holistic marketing campaign for a long time. And, you know, actually recently, I've recently been having conversations internally within WPP around talking to the different creative agencies within the WPP network. So there's a recent partnership. So there's Hogarth has an addressable content partnership that they've launched with GroupM. So that's something that's developing. But then there's also, I recently had a session with the Grey teams as well. And they, so it was basically an educational session. So it was basically demonstrating this is what programmatic is. This is how it operates. This is how we reach our audiences. And this is all sort of in an effort to break down those silos between creative and media teams, and try and get them to operate in a more sort of holistic, cohesive way. So, so I think there's definitely an emphasis on that. I think one actually interesting part of that particular session was we took a brief and we all focused on it from different sides, and we demonstrated what a creative expert, you know, how do they see a brief? How does a planner see a brief versus how does an activation lead see a brief? And we saw very different opinions. And I think that kind of demonstrates the challenge that we have across the industry of, you know, we approach media very differently. And so there's definitely some work to be done there, but that is a bit of a focus for GroupM this year. It's one of our sort of ambitions for, you know, this year and beyond to really try and connect up those teams, break down those silos. And I don't think this is necessarily related to the cookie-less movement. I think this is something that's, you know, an ambition that's sort of broader than that, that needs to be addressed. Yeah. Because we know that if we can really get those teams to work cohesively together and have a strong sort of approach with an understanding of what the creative strategy is going to be, an understanding of what the media strategy is going to be, and all planned together in an effective way, that's how we can get the best out of an overall media strategy.
that is an absolutely fascinating experiment. I love that. That's really interesting. And actually, it, as you say, it does show how everyone comes at it from different angles. But they're all angles that are important, I guess. And actually, everyone's perspective on a brief is a really important perspective. And it just shows how important it is to collaborate and to get together when a brief comes in and not just look at it from your own perspective, because you're all ultimately trying to achieve the same goal. And that's what's often forgotten with media planning and with briefs coming into different teams. Those goals get forgotten about. It's about how to approach it from a creative mindset, or from a planning mindset, or a programmatic mindset. That's a really interesting way of looking into that. And Dal, I want to understand, you know, what does creative mean to CTAG? Like, how are you guys kind of operating in that world? You know, we talked about contextual from the benefits it has from a performance perspective and a branding perspective. Where does creative fit into that as well?
Creative has been at the forefront of everything that CTAG's done. So, you know, just on our site, you can see all the different creative executions that we've got on there, whether it's display or video. And that's exactly it. I think what Dal mentioned is that there needs to be, you know, they should coincide, the data side, the activation, the creative, they should all be working together ultimately to hit the brand's KPIs and ultimately the brands can then get closer to the consumers and the customers that they want to acquire. So yeah, creative is super important. I think, you know, just taking a step back in the programmatic world, the last 10, 11 years, by the time you get a campaign from a media owner side, the creative's already been built, right? And you're then being asked, what is your advice on where you think it could run? And by then, I suppose it's too late, right? Because the creative's been built, the idea behind the creative's there, and I suppose the agency and the brand already have in their idea what the execution looks like, whether you make a recommendation or not, right? So I think, yeah, that conversation needs to happen, whether it's, you know, a big brainstorm or everyone getting together for an hour and then going back and having their ideas and then, you know, talking about how the execution or the delivery of the campaign may influence the creative, you know, and then the data could play a big part in it as well. So, yeah, I think it's super important to have that conversation earlier on. CTAG, we're in quite a unique position because we build out creatives. We have an army of designers all in our HQ office, you know, that can build out creatives in, you know, 8 different languages. We then work with our data team, ensure that the creative that we're building out resonates with the contextual targeting that we'll be adding in and the types of publishers that will be ultimately serving the campaign. So we're doing that brainstorming on our side already. It's just having that session in and working with the agencies and clients. I think that needs to be done.
Sorry, just to add to that as well, I think some of the most effective sessions I've seen where creative and media teams are brought together is through vendors like CTAG or like others out there who have creative suites and also have sort of targeting capabilities. And if you can get all of the right people in a room and basically hash out what's the best creative strategy and media strategy and really bring them together. I've seen that there's been, you know, strategizing that's probably skipped out months and months of planning back and forth from teams. You know, it's just a huge time-saving exercise, if anything, where you can actually create a cohesive strategy very quickly, or much quicker than it can tend to do across the sort of standard planning sort of approach. So I think that's just one thing. I totally agree, Dal, that you know, those kind of interactions should happen a lot more often.
Yeah, and I think that the key here is to challenge each other. I think people are too scared to be challenged and told that they're wrong. And, you know, media owners, agencies, brands, we can all be wrong, right? I think the key here is having that session in, challenge each other, and literally then figuring out what's the best course of action. And, you know, ultimately some results won't be great. Some results will be amazing, but that's the thing, right? That chance that there could be something amazing built off the back of it. You should be willing to take that risk. So yeah, definitely. I think there, you know, in the last kind of 11, 12 years I've been in the industry, it's very rare you have these types of sessions in. I know they're becoming a lot more, you know, they're happening a lot more now in the last few years, but they definitely need to happen a lot more.
And it has, and that's exactly it, Dal. It has been slow to get to this point. And, you know, I'm still having conversations with people where they're working with creative agencies and they're still receiving a 30-second TVC and being told, right, turn that into a display ad. And the fact that this is still, you know, pretty common practice throughout the industry. What are your thoughts on, I mean, Dom, the example you gave about how you're working together with the different WPP agencies to kind of make that work, that's great when you're all kind of doing so within one holding group, because you can do that and you can have the powers that be kind of bring you all together. What about when you are bringing in third parties and you're all trying to make it work and it can be a bit awkward sometimes? How do you ensure that what you're doing within WPP can go beyond to other partners you work with for certain clients and actually really, really make changes that cross-pollinate borders, if you like?
Yeah, I think, well, an agency can act as that sort of third party, you know, or act as the sort of overseeing entity that can bring those elements together. And yeah, I think it should overcome the awkwardness of having to work with other parties outside of a particular group. You know, that's just one sort of element to it, because the results of the back of it would be worth the, you know, that mild awkwardness to be able to bring in other parties. Yeah.
And Dal, Dom was saying earlier that, you know, the route to kind of working better together, to want to bring data and creativity together, to better together, I can't even speak, isn't just a cookie list thing. It's been going on long before that. And, you know, cookie list might be accelerated to a certain degree. But are you seeing, you know, you've been at CTAG for 4 years, you were saying, are you seeing that there's more and more, as we move closer and closer to a cookie list world, are you seeing more and more different types of brands and agencies coming to you and saying, I want to understand how we can drive contextual at the top and bottom of the funnel and everywhere in between, and bring that creative element into it as well? Are you seeing kind of more desire for that with cookieless kind of coming ever closer?
Yeah, we've had all verticals come to us, to be completely honest. And then again, you know, just thinking back to the start of the pandemic, early 2020, you'd have a lot of the telcos brands, you'd have a lot of the FMCG brands coming to us and talking about contextual and asking us those questions. And I think it was a very interesting time, because ultimately, brands didn't want to seem like they were pushy around that time, right? Because it was such a sensitive time, you know, for the whole world, not just for the UK, but for everyone in every industry, right? So they would come to us and ask our advice. And to be honest, the best advice we had was, you know, talk about your values, talk about your messaging, connect with your existing users, on how you're still there for them, whether it's telcos and talking about how the network is free or data is free over a certain period of time, or you can make calls back to your friends and family that are living in different countries. That messaging, I think, works best in a contextual environment, because ultimately you're reading an article that's potentially in a positive sentiment, and then you're placing a brand in front of that user, it's going to have an amazing response, right? Equally, you could get it really wrong and target negative content around the pandemic, bad news or whatever it might be. And equally there, a brand wouldn't want to associate themselves with that in that instance. So I think, again, it goes back to the partners you're working with, really asking those questions, finding out exactly how their tech works, because contextual is far more than just keyword targeting, or it should be far more than keyword targeting, right? So asking those questions will help massively. But yeah, we've seen a lot of success when it comes to brands asking those questions, running contextual targeting. And like I said, around the time of the pandemic, a lot of them just accelerated their contextual targeting, because it seemed the safest way. You weren't breaching privacy. It was brand safe environments. You're targeting publications which are premium, good quality editorial content. So contextual was actually a safe play, provided that the technology was, you know, working as it should be in the back end.
Mm, that's really interesting and obviously very encouraging, certainly for you anyway. And I want to kind of understand, you know, we talk about creativity, we aren't just talking about the ad the consumer sees, we're not just talking about a piece of creative. We're talking about the creativity and innovation that goes into media planning execution in the first place. And it's kind of like either a bottom-up approach or a top-down approach, whatever, but where does creativity and innovation sit within that entire process? And are you seeing that as we move away from the third-party cookie, that you're having to understand more differently where your audiences are, how you find them, and how you actually target them and engage with them? Dom, what's happening from your perspective with your clients on that front?
Yeah, so I think just to say, first off, like, you know, the term innovation is very broad, and in fact, it, you know,
certainly is.
Yeah, and I think in fact, on previous clients, I've worked with them to redefine exactly what innovation means, so we don't get too carried away with ourselves and just throwing everything into an innovation roadmap.
In the sense of they ask for innovation and you could go too broad, so you have to kind of like whittle that down a bit.
Exactly, yeah. Or, you know, put it into categories that make sense, because innovation could mean team restructuring, or it could be, you know, it could be the type of targeting you're using, the vendor you're using, all this type of element. So it's almost a too broad a term in some cases. So it can be difficult to manage those roadmaps. But I would say that definitely contextual is in terms of just cookie-less roadmaps, you know, cookie-less innovation roadmaps. How are we basically adapting our strategies to future-proof ourselves for the cookie-less movement? Those roadmaps very heavily feature contextual solutions. You know, there's that's one of the key elements that's clearly a winning solution for targeting at scale in a cookieless future. So that's, you know, so that could come in the form of methodologies that we're using that are cookieless, or it could be vendors that have are embedding cookieless into their approaches, or they were already cookieless, they're already contextual in the beginning, and now they're just in a good place in terms of the industry. So all these types of different solutions coming into play are definitely on testing roadmaps, and that might be slightly different for different clients depending on their needs and what works for them. I think it's shaping clients' views on how we sort of reach our audiences, but more via different vendors and methodologies as opposed to adjusting the audiences themselves.
That's an interesting point. Dal, what's your perspective on that, and kind of how audience targeting and engagement is evolving from a contextual perspective?
So I think of it like this: as consumers or users of the internet, whatever it might be, or consuming media, you remember ads that are either creative or they're controversial. So brands obviously don't want to be controversial. Well, most brands probably don't want to be controversial. So I think it's important that they're really innovating and pushing towards the creative side of things. And again, looking back during the pandemic, around about the May, June time, I remember KFC and their ad that they released, which is "We'll take it from here," you know, which was, I found, creative in many different ways. You know, it was creative because it was a video showing people like myself trying their hand at making fried chicken at home because they missed, going to their favorite takeaway. It was also creative in the sense that it was right time, right place. It was, you know, tugging at those, you know, heartstrings, and it was, the data there that they would have had to build out that message and that build out that ad was super important as well. So I think another key element is storytelling. You know, if brands can tell stories, they're going to win. It's as simple as that. And if they do it in a creative way, a relevant way, and the execution works, then again, they're going to win. So I think that's super important. Creativity is why we enter the industry. Many, many years ago, a lot of people joining the industry as well. You know, we've got an amazing hotbed of talent. And the main reason people are entering the industry is because of creativity. So we need to make sure that is at the forefront of everything we do, not just on kind of larger scale, you know, the C-suite, talking about the vision, et cetera. It needs to be down to, you know, the interns and the execs entering the industry, because they need to be told, or they need to be educated in the sense that creative plays a big part in everything we do. And sometimes you forget that, right? I've been the head of programmatic for a number of years now in different roles. You're looking at the data, you're looking at the measurement, you're looking at the reporting, you're making sure everything delivers on time, et cetera. But you're not really thinking about the creative side of things. So yeah, I think creativity should be, amongst us in every shape and form.
And do you think that actually in a drive to go cookieless, there is, I mean, Dal, you just mentioned it yourself, like creativity needs to not be an afterthought, and how we move away from an afterthought. I'm also fascinated, Dawn, from your perspective, sitting where you are over in Bangkok, about kind of, you know, we're talking often about data and creativity, and then what we can do with it, how we can target from a privacy perspective. That's due to heavy strict regulations in the EU and the UK. It's a very different scenario over in different APAC regions, different countries in APAC. Do you have the same challenges? Do you have the same challenges with your clients? Kind of actually, what is the driving force behind focusing on data and creativity and moving away from cookies when privacy doesn't become part of that play? if that made sense. That was a bit of a strange question. It kind of made sense to me.
I think I get it. So I think in terms of, definitely there's elements like GDPR in Europe, which we don't have in APAC, but there's all sorts of different privacy regulations that keep popping up across different markets and keep continually being updated, which lead, have the same end goal, which is just increased privacy for the end user. So I think shifting towards a sort of cookieless movement is still the same shift over here than it is in EMEA, where there's already things like GDPR. But then the only other challenge is that it's very much more a mobile led ecosystem as well. So that's just the one extra addition. But it still comes back to testing the same kind of vendors or same kind of methodologies that can essentially future-proof us for a cookieless future. And also, when we say cookieless future, and we keep talking about it now as though it's impending just because of Google's browser regulations that them stripping away cookies from the Chrome browser. But there's already other browsers out there that haven't been cookieless have been cookieless for a long time. So
absolutely.
I think so it's almost kind of we should have been having this shift for a long time anyway. And I think there's kind of an image that there's going to be just this one cutoff day that's going to change the industry or something. But I think it's going to be a bit more gradual than that. I think we're already shifting our sort of methodologies to tackle it, and it's not all going to be complete doom and gloom. I think that's my sort of approach to it,
which is great to hear and very positive, because you do speak to some people that say we're not really sure what we're doing yet and we're just going to wait and see what happens, and you sort of think, no, please don't do that, because actually before you know it, things will change in a heartbeat. And as you said, there's not going to be kind of like one sort of D-Day cutoff day where suddenly there's no cookies, but there needs to be kind of probably more action from certain players in the industry. And I guess it's down to guys like you, to CTAG, to GroupM, to help marketers understand where those challenges are and kind of how they can drive that forwards.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think that comes back to sort of the innovation roadmaps that we have in place with our different clients, that are, there's multiple vendors out there that clearly are enabling marketers to reach their desired audiences at scale, a cost-effective scale. So I think that's still apparent. I think it's going to be the exact impact of what cookieless has on the industry is still a challenging thing to measure. Like the exact impact on a certain audience that's going to happen when cookies are removed is difficult to measure. It might be that certain technologies come into play, like cookieless measurement instead. Maybe that is what can beef up that audience instead of it just completely being diminished. But I think the complexity of how audiences are going to be impacted across different markets, different inventory sources is very challenging to understand. But I think there's some elements that we definitely can understand, which is there are solutions out there that we've already tested, tried and tested, and that should be embedded in any sort of future-proofing strategy for when cookies are diminished. Yeah.
Interesting. And I want to end on measurement. Now, we've talked about measurement a lot in the podcast. We talked about it from a perspective of looking at the top of funnel KPIs like CPV, like CTR, CPM, looking at brand lift studies, looking at OTR, looking at things like outcomes and bottom of the funnel kind of performance aspect. But I want to understand measurement from the perspective of contextual, but also creativity. And I want to get a sense from you guys as to exactly how you can make creative and bring sustained creativity into media planning and execution, into kind of the way you target your audience, the way you strategize more generally, but also make sure you're measuring its effectiveness and measuring its effectiveness in the context of cookieless environments, first rate environments, whatever, contextual environments, and understand kind of how it doesn't then become an afterthought and what that looks like as brands move more and more into kind of accelerated digital transformation. So my question here is, that wasn't really a question. My question here is kind of, do you think that contextual and the move to bring creativity as a fundamental part of that is changing the fundamentals of what measurement looks like? And are we actually measuring creative and creativity effectively and correctly? Dal, I'll come to you first on that one.
Yeah, right now, I don't think as an industry we are. I think that there could be a lot more measurement in that place. Like I said before, we're kind of measuring those kind of legacy metrics that we all love, I'm sure. But, it's that needs to change for sure, right? And when it comes to the creative measurement, that's something that CTAG has been working hard on. When it comes to, it's all good and well to have a creative that's interactive, or you know, you can, there's different elements to it, whether it's a drag and drop or swipe or whatever it might be. But if we can't report back on what people are doing and what the user is doing online with that creative, then what's the point, right? So on our side, we've been working hard to actually report back to the client and say, did you know that this creative for this product had this type of engagement? This is what the user tended to do. This is the type of product that they were interested in. You know, those types of metrics are reported back, which is in addition to all the other metrics that they're used to getting. We've also got a CTAG lab program, which is for our key global clients. That looks at the contextual universe. And what that typically means in a nutshell is, we look at a brand, we see how they're being talked about in terms of publications, what other news and topics that they're in and around. And then ultimately that we give that information back to the brand and say, look, did you know, for example, if they're a sports brand, that you are in and around ambassadors and fitness and health. But did you know some of your competitors are more around food and drink and lifestyle and entertainment? Do you want to engage with those types of users now with the content that they're reading? So providing that type of data and information back, again, has not been readily available. You know, we're talking about contextual. We're talking about serving an ad in the right place at the right time. But what good is that if we're not then going back to the brands and saying, in this environment, we're seeing X uplift. In this environment, we're seeing Y uplift. So that's a lot of the work that CTAG's been doing. The back end is reporting back on those contextual triggers and the different signals that we see. And then ultimately, the brand doesn't just have to use that data to then serve ads with CTAG, but they can use that offline on their social strategy, on their TV strategy, on their audio strategy, because what we want to do is work as a partner those brands and ultimately work together, going back to the point, you know, we should all be working together and brainstorming and having those types of sessions in. We will be providing that data back to them to then use how they will. Because ultimately, you know, if I was a brand, I'd love to know where my, you know, brand name is being mentioned in terms of editorial content, right? And then to make that decision of, am I happy with that? Do I want to be around that content? But where else can I also go and where else can I engage? And that's when the creative comes into play, because then you then adapt your creative and have it relevant for each contextual targeting.
Yeah, you've raised some interesting points there, actually, that I hadn't really considered as well, in terms of not just the creative in isolation, but actually the creative in relation to the context of the page it's on, which is a really interesting point as well. Dom, what are your points on the question I asked so long ago that I've kind of forgotten the wording of, but around, you know, how we're measuring creative effectively in contextual environments?
Sure. So I think, you know, as sort of contextual continues to grow, as it's, you know, as I kind of mentioned before, it's clearly a winning strategy to reach audiences at, you know, at scale. As that sort of grows, yeah, measurement of those, of that environment is absolutely key. I think, yeah, Dal kind of touched upon it earlier, just saying, if we can't measure it properly, then how do we know the effectiveness of our media? And then what's the sort of point in even targeting it if we don't know if it's being effective at all? So that's absolutely key for sure. And I think it's actually kind of what Dal mentioned in terms of using those contextual triggers and or the methodologies that like CTAG is employing and other vendors out there are testing how they can measure contextual effectively. It's all of these kind of measurement processes that we need to continue testing, continue like trying to find out what's the best way to measure a contextual environment. What's the best way to make sure that this more like real time environment that we're now buying in, how are we making sure that it's, you know, really reaching the consumers that we want to. And I think, you know, kind of back to a similar point we were talking about before about brand suitability, and like how we're actually ensuring that these contextual signals are making sure that we are avoiding negative content and also targeting positive content with the right sort of sentiments. So how are we continuing to measure all of this and making sure that we are appearing in the right environments from a targeting perspective? And then essentially, yeah, how are we going to measure that effectively to see to measure engagement and measure you know, potential conversions as well off the back of those environments. So I think there's, yeah, still testing to be done for contextual itself, but we've still got the sort of basic kind of metrics that we will continue to use, and then as we as we then evolve into further areas of measuring effectiveness of our advertising, then you know we'll continue to see how we can engage in those kind of metrics in a contextual environment as well.
Brilliant. Well, it sounds like there's lots to be done, but it's certainly an exciting time, as it always is in this industry. We are out of time, unfortunately, but I want to say thank you very much, Dal and Dom. That's been a really interesting conversation. I hope you both enjoyed it.
It's been amazing. I really enjoyed it.
It's been great. Thanks very much.
It's been wonderful to have you both. Thank you, everyone, for listening. It's been the Mad Tech Podcast.